Our gospel scripture tonight is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and verses 16 through 21. Would you please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel? Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their rewards. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it, to be strengthened by it. Lord, I pray that you would bless the season of Lent that we're entering into. Help us, Lord, to focus our hearts in on you and to examine our hearts and to grow in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Christian life is a life that's lived in with multiple dimensions. You know, there's the public dimension of our faith. That's the one that's put out there for all to see. It's stuff we participate in when we make our confession of faith. We identify ourselves as a Christian in front of other people. And there's also when we enter the waters of baptism. It's another public identification of ourselves as a Christian. And then there's what we do when we gather together corporately and participate in worship like we're doing this evening. But there's also a personal and private dimension of our faith. It's the time that we spend alone with God. It's the disciplines that we practice as we seek to grow as a disciple. It's what we do to grow in Christ when no one is around to see it. But what happens when we neglect that private aspect of our faith and instead only focus on the public, or we begin to do what was meant to be done or better done in private? We do it in public so that people might see it and give us attention, and that they might see what we're doing. Our growth as a disciple of Jesus can become stunted when our private spiritual practices and our time with God are neglected. But the season of Lent that we're entering into today is a great time for renewed focus in this area. In Matthew 6, Jesus is addressing a problem that comes around when our motives for acts of devotion and charity get mixed up, and attention for others becomes the reason for engaging in those good acts. Jesus warns that the practice of practicing religion in public in order to draw attention to the good things that we're doing sort of replaces God's heavenly reward with an earthly one. The eternal value of what we're doing becomes cheapened by the very earthly desire for praise and respect and admiration right here on earth. Instead of storing up treasures in heaven, time is spent doing things in a way that might lead someone to say, "Oh, wow, look at so-and-so. They're a really good Christian. Look how much they pray, or look how much they give, or look how much of the Bible that they know." Jesus calls his disciples to private devotion, not just public performance. He then gives examples of how to practice giving and praying and fasting. knowing that the goal of these spiritual practices are not for our own glory, but to grow closer to God and to give Him the glory. Jesus' attention on this subject highlights to us the importance of giving prayer and fasting to the life of a believer. Jesus doesn't say not to participate in these activities out of the fear that you might have the wrong motives. He isn't saying, well, just don't try because you never really know your motives, and then you have to constantly be checking yourself and all of that. He doesn't say that. See, Jesus, instead, he just assumes that his disciples will engage in those disciplines. It's telling that Jesus didn't say, if you pray, and if you give, and if you fast. He said, whenever you give, whenever you pray, and whenever you fast. Jesus wants his disciples to participate in these disciplines. That's why this passage is such an important one as we enter into Lent. It's not only important to occasionally examine our motives, but it's also crucial that we engage in a private spiritual life. What develops when we spend time with God in prayer and reading scripture and fasting far surpasses the temporary attention and glory that we might receive by performing these acts in public. Lent is an opportunity for reflection, penitence, and fasting. Many people choose to give up something important to them as a fast during the 40 days of Lent. This period of self-denial and repentance is an acknowledgement that there may be things in our lives that we need to cast aside. But Lent is also a perfect opportunity to add something extremely valuable to your life, and that's a private life of spiritual disciplines and a deeper devotional life. If you ever talk to someone who has developed that rich devotional life, they're going to tell you about how it is, how much their love of God has been strengthened by it, and their connection to his plan for their life. And those are all things that God wants for all his disciples and all his followers. But if you haven't yet developed the deep, rich, devotional life that God desires for us, Lent's the perfect opportunity to start developing it. The next 40 days are a time for repentance, fasting, and a general need for us to focus on our need for a forgiveness from God and for his work in our life. So I encourage everyone here to use the time that's coming up as a chance to develop holy habits. These will strengthen your relationship with God and your growth as a disciple of Jesus, and it will also help you to see how God is at work in your life, sometimes in ways that you might would have overlooked otherwise. For instance, if you haven't yet developed a Bible reading plan, the next 40 days are a perfect opportunity to develop it. And it might seem like you don't have a time in your life to devote to reading the Bible. You know, your schedule's already busy. You've got a lot of obligations and opportunities. But the thing about it, right, is now, not only is Scripture important, but it's really never been easier to incorporate the Bible into our lives. There's so many different reading plans that you can search and find just by Googling or by finding a book that would, you know, give you a reading plan that caters to your needs. There's also smartphones. Now you can download for free Bible apps, which means that everywhere you go in your pocket, you've got the Bible there. And when you have a moment to sit down and you've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes of downtime, instead of checking Twitter or Facebook, you can open up your app and read God's Word. And if you do that a few times a day, before you know it, you're starting to develop a pretty healthy habit of reading the Scripture. And because your phone is always with you, so why not put God's Word on it? Scripture is such an important part of our development as disciples of Jesus, so I encourage you to spend some time with it this Lent. Giving is also something that is an act of devotion to God. When you give, you're acknowledging that God and the things of God are important enough to you to share the resources that you have. And Lent's a great time to practice this devotion in a new way. For some people, it might mean giving up something during Lent that has a financial component to it, and in taking that money and at the end of Lent, collecting it and giving it to someone that's in need, or giving it to a worthy source. And for some, it might be maybe they're going to skip their favorite restaurant during Lent and use that money to give to the poor. There's a lot of ways that you can practice giving in a new way during Lent. And likewise, if you think about your prayer life and you say in your head, well, yeah, wouldn't it be nice to have a prayer life? I challenge you this Lent to give it a try. Prayer is something that shouldn't be missing from the life of a believer. And I believe that everyone can find a way to practice prayer in their life. We were created to be in relationship with God, and prayer is the way that we build that relationship, by communicating with our Creator God. It's wonderful to have a set time set aside each day for prayer that's scheduled into your daily routine where you can find quiet time and sit down and pray. That's a wonderful practice, and it is a huge benefit. But if it seems like that's something that's impossible for you, don't let that stop you from praying. Prayer takes on many different shapes and sizes, and praying in a big piece of time can be a wonderful experience. But prayer is also something that can happen anytime and anywhere. You can pray with your eyes open during your commute. You can pray sitting at your desk or while you're making dinner. Prayer is communication with God, and it can happen anywhere. Some people also find it helpful to jot down a single phrase or a sentence-long prayer and use it as their prayer of the day, or to take a line of scripture and make it their prayer for the day. That way, even as you go about your day, you can silently pray your prayer and use it as a reminder that God is ever with you and wants to communicate with you. And there's a number of prayer aids that can also help you develop a holy habit of prayer. One of my favorites are the Divine Hours books. There's four of them, and they're one for each season of the year, and they're filled with prayers for all different times of the day, and you can carry it with you or keep it at home, and it's a reminder to take a moment and pray. And and those type of prayer aids are a good way to focus your prayer so that you can really, really enter a prayerful state of mind. There's so many of those things that can help you to develop a prayer habit. In 1 Thessalonians, we're told to pray continuously. But I don't think that means that we're supposed to be down on our knees somewhere in a corner praying 24/7. Instead, it's all about living your life prayerfully, and that can take on many different forms. The important part is that you pray. And prayer being communication with God means that communication is usually a two-way street. So know that when you pray, God will communicate. He will answer you back. And so part of prayer is leaving space in your life to listen to the response of God, because it can come from many forms and many ways that you didn't expect. But it's crucial and so important to our life as disciples of Jesus. As I close this message, I want to leave you with a prayer in the form of a poem for Lent by Ann Weems that I thought really captures the essence of the season that we've entered. Lent is a time to take time to let the power of our faith story take hold of us, a time to let the events get up and walk around in us, a time to intensify our living unto Christ, a time to hover over the thoughts of our hearts, a time to place our feet in the streets of Jerusalem or to walk along the sea and listen to his word, a time to touch his robe and feel the healing surge through us, a time to wonder and a time to ponder. Lent is a time to allow a fresh new taste of God. Perhaps we're afraid to have time to think, for thoughts come unbidden. Perhaps we're afraid to face our future, knowing our past. Give us courage, O God, to hear your word and to read our living into it. Give us the trust to know we're forgiven, and give us the faith to take up our lives and walk. Brothers and sisters, I want to leave you with this encouragement. We have a Savior that wants to be in relationship with us. This Lent, take time to practice holy pursuits, and not for the glory and honor of humanity, as Jesus warned us against, but instead, do it in recognition of your need for God. Yield yourself to Jesus, accept his offer of relationship, and walk with him this Lent. Thank you.